Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Friday night here on Suspense Radio. We got a great show for you. If you want suspense and you want action thriller, because you've come to the right place, because we have authors James Rollins and Iris Johansson for you tonight. I am your host, John Robb, and I'm so pleased to be able to have this show like this and to bring everything to you. I want to thank everybody for listening to us tonight, because the time for 60 minutes of Suspense Radio begins right now. Tonight, everyone, this is going to be one of the best shows we've ever had here on Suspense Radio. Want to let you know, last Tuesday we had on here was Erica Spindler and Allison Leota talking about their fantastic books out there. I recommend everyone going to check them out, ericaspindler.com and allisonleota.com, to see exactly what they're up to here in the Minds of Suspense. So remember, you can listen to all the archive shows. You can download it to your iPod, iPhone, iPad, whatever I you have. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/suspensemagazine. You can go to suspensemagazine.com, click on Suspense Radio. It's all there for you. And like I said, Zoom, Netflix through Roku, all the eyes and all the Apple products and everything else you can listen to along with all the other podcasting sites. So, you know, it's a very exciting time here, like we always mention, for Suspense Magazine. Our November issue, October-November issue, is out on the shelves. 520 Barnes & Nobles, along with about 50 or so independent bookstores. We're going to be available in Borders and Books a Million soon, probably with December. Yes, I was, if you want to call it, the dork. And I did go out, and I did purchase my own magazine because, you know, as like a debut author, instead of just taking a picture and seeing it, I wanted to buy it. I saw it, you know, and what do you know? My picture was in the magazine. So I thought that was a pretty cool thing to do too. But, you know, it really is an exciting time. And if you want to get the magazine, you want to check out, it's kind of with all the other writing magazines. So typically, if you don't know about Barnes & Nobles, it's not going to be that eye level because, of course, you know, they charge to have those magazines sit at the eye level. So we found it there on the lower shelf with all the other writing magazines that you'll see with the writers' markets and so on and so forth, and you can find it there. But it does stick out because of, you know, what our covers look like, which is kind of the way we made it like that. So you'll be able to see, you know, Brad Thor, R.L. Stein, Alan Jacobson, David Morrell, Graham Masterton in the magazine as the big ones, along with all the other articles and features that we have for, you know, the debut authors. The other thing, we are coming here a half hour earlier than we normally do, and I guess I'm going to explain a little bit why, is, you know, it's a very exciting time, not only with the magazine, but also personally, that my daughter is up for homecoming queen in her senior year in her school. And the game that they announced that at here starts at 7 o'clock Pacific time. So therefore, I had to move the show up, and thank you, James and Iris, for allowing me to do that, because I get to walk her down over there and to see if she wins, because I said if she doesn't, then I might have to kick her out of the family. No pressure or anything, but I just said, you know, that's what it is. So, you know, I'm a little nervous, I hope, you know, for her and for her boyfriend, because they're up for that, but it is a great thing that, you know, is going on. So I wanted to share that all with you also. The other thing that I wanted to, you know, share with everybody again is that if you would like to call in, you know, you're more than welcome to. The phone number is 877-666-9320. We'll try to get you on if we can, but we cannot say that we will. The best way to ask any questions is to go to the chat room and go ahead and type them in. And again, you know, we'll try our best to get them on, but, you know, 20 minutes does go by very quick, and you know, we'll do our best because we have a lot of information to talk about, you know, with our first guest. And our first guest here is one that is very, very well known, I mean, because of his books that have been here with the Sigma series. His latest release was in, for all technicalities, January of 2010, called Altar of Eden. And then the Doomsday Key was then brought back in hardback or in paperback here in May of 2010, which was the latest book in the Sigma series. So I want to introduce James Rollins to Suspense Radio, everybody. So, James, thank you so much, and how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on your program.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we finally got to meet at VoucherCon, which was a great event last weekend. First time we ever been to that. Now, you know, was that wasn't your first VoucherCon, though, was it?
No, actually, I've been to just one other VoucherCon before when it was in Chicago, maybe about 7 years ago. This is my first time back.
That was a little bit of a hiatus then.
It was. I've just been involved with the International Thriller Writers, being on their board, just a lot involved with that organization and their convention in the summer. It was just hard to do, two conventions back to back in the summer. So I had a tendency not to miss a few of the VoucherCons.
Yeah, and you know, when you pump out two books a year, I mean, you don't have a lot of other time to do much else either, do you?
It seems that way. It was even three books last year, and I've got three books coming out next year. So it's a little crazy.
Right. I mean, you know, the Sigma series here is seven books strong. And so you had Doomsday Key that came back out in May of 2010, and then your individual series that you have going on, Altar of Eden, is your latest book. So, you know, can you tell a little bit about, Altar of Eden and, you know, about the new character that you brought in?
Yeah, you know, it's a departure for me. I've been doing the Sigma series for quite a long time, and I was ready to go back to my roots because my early books were all standalones, and so I was ready to do another standalone where I had a new set of characters. And I don't know if people know this, but my background is as a veterinarian. And so Altar of Eden's main character is also a veterinarian, a female veterinarian, who stumbles upon this this plot where people are genetically engineering these animals, and she discovers them in a sort of a crash trawler during a storm, and she needs to discover what's been done to these animals and why have they been altered, and that leads her into a big adventure.
And since your background of a veterinarian, is this the first time that you decided to write a character that was, you know, veterinarian style like that too?
Yeah, definitely. I've never tackled, you know, they always say write what you know, but I've avoided actually writing with a veterinarian as a main character, even as a supporting character. Now, I've dealt with a lot of sort of strange animals, and so my background in evolutionary biology, my love of animals, oftentimes does pepper my writing. You'll see a lot of my characters have sort of sidekick animals, whether it's a wolf rescue dog or whether it's an old German shepherd, I have an orphan jaguar cub and another that's sort of a critical character. So animals appear a lot in my book. This is the first time I stepped even further back and had a veterinarian in a lead role.
And was there anything that jogged you that just said that that's something that you're going to do? I mean, did it just hit you and say, hey, you know, I think it's time to do that?
Well, when it came to doing a standalone, I thought, it's been so long since I've done a standalone, what can I do that's unique that I've never done before? And I just sort of came across, I knew I wanted to deal again with a story that had a strong sort of animal theme to it. So I thought, well, if I'm doing that, why do I shy away from having a veterinarian in the lead? So I decided to go ahead and create that character.
And so then the coming back to the Sigma series with the Doomsday Key, and we know that you have another book that you're working on now called Devil's Colony. Now, is that going to be a Sigma series, or are you going to stick with standalone again?
The Devil Colony is the next book in the Sigma series, and it's a pretty pivotal book. There's been sort of an ongoing sort of a plot thread that's never been resolved that's going to be resolved in this book. So it's a fairly critical and fairly big book. And one of the reasons why I'm a little bit delayed in getting this book out is that it's a bit bigger of a story than I first envisioned when I plotted it. And then after that, I do have another standalone book coming out in the winter.
Right, and I think that book was, and which one is that entitled? Is that?
It's called The Blood Gospel.
Okay, The Blood Gospel.
That comes out next winter.
So, busy time for you. And when you decided with The Devil's Colony to go ahead and kind of wrap up that plot line that had not been done, was that your intention with Devil's Colony, or was that something that came to you? Because I found it fascinating in your questions on your website, jamesrowlands.com, that one of the questions was, you know, do you have writer's block? And you say, if I have writer's block, there's a problem with the story. So I go back, or you go back, not I. I mean, I don't write you. And so you go back and you figure out where the story kind of moved in the wrong direction, and then you fix it, and then it just keeps rolling. Now, was that something with Devil's Colony, or did you always set out to go ahead and fix that plot line?
Well, I always knew the ultimate mystery of, and I'll just talk about it a little bit, I guess, is that there's an organization that's been sort of opposing the Sigma organization, and they're fairly shadowy. We don't really even know what their name is. They call it the Guild because they just need to put a name on it, but that's not really the name of this organization, and slowly over the course of the 7 books, you've been getting a little bit of tidbits about what this organization is, what their ultimate goal is. But in this next book, the curtains are pulled back, and you finally realize who this organization is and who's behind it.
Now, if you heard my little intro, and this is something now that I'm just curious to know, you heard that I went out and I bought my own magazine when it first hit the shelves because I was a dork, and my wife went with me, and she goes, don't make a scene, just buy it and move along, just like anybody else. And I said, okay. Now, you know, did you do that with your first book? Because I just don't want to feel like I was the only kind of person that ever did that.
No, I still remember seeing my book on the shelf for the first time, and I did indeed buy it.
I was not
subtle about it.
Oh, you were next quiet. I had to be quiet.
I was with a friend, and he was like, once I was picking the book, he was like grabbing everybody around and pointing, and this is the author of this book. It wasn't voluntarily put in front of everybody, but it was. I cannot say it was a subtle event.
Heck, I wanted to have like an impromptu magazine signing right there. That's
you
what I was looking for. I'm like, come on, let me say something, and maybe I'll be like, hey, I'll sign this for you. You know, but no, she wanted me to be quiet because I already embarrassed her enough. I guess I didn't need to deal any further than that.
Yeah, there's
now,
always, my dad's a good reporter, and he's notorious. Whenever he sees somebody reading a book, he engages them in conversation, finds out what they're interested in, then, of course, he pitches my book to them, which is okay if I'm not around. It's quite embarrassing when you're sitting at dinner with him when this occurs.
Right, and you know, speaking of that, I was watching a movie, and I'll be damned if I cannot remember the name of it. But I do remember that somebody was on a train, and maybe you can help me out, and literally sitting in front of them was the Judas strain that they were reading. Now, did you know about that? Did they tell you about that? But I remember seeing that, and I go, hey, that's James's book.
Oh, I'm not even aware of that. That's news to me.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
I didn't know if they had to ask you.
In Douglas Preston Lincoln Child's book, they had his villain is heading on a trip and picks up a book at the airport bookstore, and it ends up being one of my books, which, you know, I wasn't quite sure if that was a compliment or not, since it was the villain who declared that James Rollins was one of his favorite writers.
But this is the killer. Oh, so the killer likes you. Well, that's inspiration comes from many different things, doesn't it? And so, and then kind of speaking of inspiration, now this is something that we kind of talked about off air. You can't give a lot of details, but you have to be inspired because you're doing something through ITW, and you're probably better to explain what you can say and what you can't say. So can you kind of tell everybody exactly what you're able to be involved with here coming
sure.
up soon?
Now, coming up, and again, I can't give them many details besides saying coming up this fall/winter, is that a group of writers associated with ITW and working through the USO, we're heading off to the Persian Gulf to basically to support the troops and to do a little song and dance out there. And because basically there's a lot of military readers out there, and we want to sort of honor them and go out there and greet them and get to know them.
And kind of how did it come about where, they kind of asked you to go?
It came about because one of the members of our group is ex-military, and he heard the USO was looking for innovative tours, because they tour quite a few people through the Persian Gulf. But a lot of times there are entertainers, comedians, but they never actually toured a literary group, a group of writers through the area. So we're sort of a trial run to see how that's received. And so based upon that, ITW volunteered, and they asked me if I'd be willing to go along. And, of course, I was more than happy to go. Quite an honor to be even asked.
So no pressure, really, then, huh?
Not at all.
you're the first ones. No pressure. No pressure, yeah. James. You messed it up, and no one else coming back.
If it's all flat on our faces, then that'll be the end of any more author tours.
Right. And I'm sure you're going to get tons of questions because, your books, the Sigma series, your books have that kind of very much, it's political, but it's very historical. So you're going to get a lot of, I'm sure a lot of questions that are just going to be fired at your way.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what, what their interests are and how the tour goes. I'm curious how this is all going to work out.
And speaking of feedback, I'm sure you get a lot of people that, contact you about your books and, ask you things. Is there one in particular question that kind of stands out that you've received that you're like, this is just kind of either off the wall or like really great that you just had never been asked before?
Well, there's the old saying in writing that, a writer when he writes is basically naked on the page. They expose a lot about themselves. And I got this email once from a reader about midway through my career, and he emailed me, Jim, I like your books, but, what I've realized is that you're basically just, rewriting the old Doc Savage novels. And I got to thinking about that, and I turned my chair around, and I've got 181 Doc Savage novels on my shelf. That's what I read through junior high and high school. So it's strange that somebody out of the blue can pick up one of my books and realize, one of the sort of the books that was the inspiration for my own writing. So it's strange the way that people have truly do get a peek behind the author from what they're writing.
And with your book coming up here too, I noticed like on your website at jamesrollins.com, you have appearances, but you don't have anything kind of listed. Now, is that something that you do frequently, is a lot of appearances when you go out and you do a lot of books for tours?
Mostly they're associated with releases. Usually I'll go on anywhere from a 4-week to 6-week tour with each book. Last year, I had 3 books out there, so it was 3 tours, which gets a little taxing. I had a kid's book. The first of a kid's book series came out last spring, and that was a fun tour to do because I went to different schools, which is an entirely different audience compared to what I've encountered in bookstores, because those middle school kids are their questions were much more blunt. How much money do you make?
That's true. They are, aren't they?
Okay.
They're not censored. You say, "Well, I made enough to drive here." Let's put that.
But they're also the most enthusiastic audience I've had. I mean, they just when they're excited about a book, they are. You feel like a rock star in front of that group.
Yeah. And, speaking of that, I didn't know if I was going to touch on it or not, but it is Jake Ransom and the Skulls King Shadow. And, it is that still historical, but it is more for younger adults. Now, what kind of gave you the inspiration to go ahead and figure out, I want to write, that kind of young adult kind of novel?
Well, I mean, that's what I grew up reading. That was sort of my first, where I got put my toe in the pool when it came to reading, was reading books like the Alfred Hitchcock and the Three Investigators and Danny Dunn. There were all these sort of like, you know, kids going out in these wild adventures. So I sort of want to touch those roots again. Also, it's a poorly kept secret that I once upon a time wrote under a different pen name, and they were fantasies. And so this gives me a little chance to sort of dabble back into the fantasy genre just a little bit with the kids' books.
Yeah, it's always kind of good to get to go back to the roots of what you read. And I think it's just fun to write kids' books because, you know, they don't have to be quite as serious, and you can be a little bit more, you know, joking and this and that. I guess it's not as dark. Let's put it that way. It's not quite as dark.
They're a blast to write.
Yeah, it's a little more light. Now, I have a couple questions here that some people have asked on the chat. They've been coming in. Now, in 2005, when ICW was formed, how do you think that kind of organization has been able to help, you know, future writers with their craft?
Well, we're very active at basically mentoring both those that are just trying to get published and those that are just debuting. We have a really strong debut author program where we, you know, basically almost pair up a debut author with a more established author as almost a mentorship program. Lee Child was the first one sort of running that organization. He did a fantastic job. And so it's just a great way of networking within our group. But also we have, you know, Craft Fest at our convention, which is a full long day of instruction on how to write. We have Agent Fest associated with the convention where you're allowed to pitch your stories right to 50 different agents.
Yeah, that's interesting, Agent Fest, because I think it's like speed dating, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why we sort of have our convention, at least in our infancy, we're trying to stick to New York City. Mostly because it's just convenient to bring in a lot of agents, because most of them seem to be in the New York City vicinity. And so we have a much better draw of agents to our convention because we set it in New York City.
Right. And that's very important because we wanted to try to hear, because we were at Thriller Fest and we missed you there. We missed a lot of people there. I think we just weren't quite as aggressive as being able to, you know, walk up. It was like our first convention, and we were kind of seeing how things were. But BoucherCon, boy, we were right in the middle. My wife's in the disco dancing with Heather Graham and Alex. I mean, it was hilarious. So
I'm going to see Heather Graham in a couple more days.
Oh, you're going to see her again?
Yeah, I'm heading down to New Orleans for Halloween, and her and her band are doing a Memnock the Devil ball that they have there in.
The band, that's right. We heard about the band. And I guess if you're going to spend someplace, you might as well spend Halloween in New Orleans. I mean, there's probably more ghosts there than any place else in the United States,
exactly.
I would think.
Plus, I've got to do a little research there. I'm meeting with the, there's a group that appears in Altar of Eden, my last book, called Acres. It's an acronym for basically a group that they... are doing research for rehabilitating and resuscitating endangered species through some pretty cutting-edge genetic research. And they have a huge campus in New Orleans. And my veterinarian works at Acres. And so I'll be looking at possibly doing another book with that main character again. So I'm meeting with the head of Acres there to have a little conversation about that.
So, well, I want to remind everybody here that we're speaking with James Rollins, best-selling author. Latest book was Altar of Eden, and then everyone's probably noticed also that The Doomsday Key came out in paperback in May of 2010. He's working on his next thriller, Devil's Colony, which is slated to be released. Is it still going to be March? So we have James. Are you there? I think we have just a second here. Hold on 1 second. That we have a. So James, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
We kind of just you know the internet. We kind of lost you for a second.
No problem.
So that's all right. So like I was saying, Devil's Colony, is that still slated to come out in March?
Devil's Colony is coming out next June.
Oh, it's June, okay.
Next April is the sequel to the Jake Rantzman Howling Sphinx comes out next April, Devil Colony next June, and the Blood Gospel. We don't have a firm date. We don't know if we're going to release in the fall. Most likely it'll be like probably January, February of 2012, I have a feeling.
Okay. So, yeah, and the one thing also is when you kind of look back, and I don't want to go way back because I heard those conversations where in BoucherCon they were like, did you write that? And you're like, I don't know. I was like 15 years ago. I don't remember if I wrote that. But it was something that is interesting. There is a book that you did write, and I just wanted to kind of figure out exactly how you got involved with that. Was you actually wrote the Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull book that was adapted from the movie.
Correct.
Now, how did, you know, I could under, you know, since that is definitely right in the genre, but now how did you get picked, or did you have to maybe audition for that? How does it come about that you get picked for something like that?
It was totally out of the blue. I got a call from my agent one day, said that, you know, Lucasfilms is looking to do a novelization. My books in the past have been compared to Indiana Jones. I mean, Map of Bones, when the first Sigma book was described by Publishers Weekly, you know, the Publishers Weekly reviewers, you know, it's a cross between Indiana Jones and the Da Vinci Code. So I'm not quite sure if they were insulting me or complimenting me by that comparison in that review, but I took it as a compliment. And so they asked me if I'd be willing to do the novelization, and I'm a huge indie fan. So, of course, how can you say no to that?
Yeah, I really. How can you say no to Indiana Jones? I mean, and if, since you had such a fun experience, is that something that you would do again if, you know, the situation came up and it was another movie that you liked?
Yeah, I would definitely have to have a personal attachment to do that project. Because, I mean, I like having full control of my story, and it's a little bit hard to color within those lines of having a strict script that you have to follow from. I got to pad a lot of scenes when I wrote the novelization. You know, I added several new scenes that aren't in the book, aren't in the screenplay. So that was fun, just being able to dabble and, you know, put on Indy's hat and climb into those shoes and carry that whip and go on that adventure with him. But it had to be something that special, something that I'm that tied to really invest me in wanting to do another novelization. I mean, I still remember going to see Raiders for the first time.
It was,
I was all set to, when I had it targeted. You know, I was a huge Steven Spielberg fan. I was all set to go see this movie. And then what happened was the week before, they had a sneak preview here in town. And I was not expecting that. And I had already booked a whitewater rafting trip with my family. And so I remember just paddling really, really fast that day because I wanted to get out of that river and over in time to make that show. And I didn't quite make it. I actually had to go straight from the river to the theater. So I went in basically soaking wet from the river, which is probably not a bad way of watching Indiana Jones. It's almost like you're experiencing it a little bit as you're sitting in, you know, sopping wet sneakers watching that movie.
Yeah, especially the second one when they jump off, where they fly off the cliff and on the raft. That was kind of good. Yeah, I mean, I remember it from the George Lucas thing because of, you know, Star Wars and doing that, and then all of a sudden he starts with the Indiana Jones saga, so... huge Indiana Jones fan, thought it was great. Of course, the second movie I think was a little off, but the first, third, and fourth I thought were just, you know, I thought they were all fantastic. I mean, how can you go wrong with that?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, I'll tell you, is there any plans for any of your books, Sigma Series, Alter of Eden, anything coming up that possibly going to be made into a movie?
Well, this past year, the Sigma Series, the series in its entirety was optioned by Dino De Laurentiis production company. So we'll see if anything happens. I've had other books that have been optioned in the past by, you know, different NBC optioned Subterranean for a miniseries. Had the executive producer Baywatch optioned Deep Fathom. So I get a lot of options sold, but nothing's ever been made. So, you know, fingers crossed that Dino and company will be able to get Sigma onto the big screen.
And do you think that this will be, is this the closest that you're going to maybe have one green-lighted then?
I think so. Dino is very enthusiastic about the series. We did not solicit him. He just happened to be in Italy, and he picked up an Italian translation of the Sigma books, and he ended up, during the course of that vacation, reading the entire series. so he seems very enthusiastic. We've come up with a brand new storyline that's unique from the books. It's not actually going to be the first movie will not be based on any particular book. It's going to be a brand new story with the Sigma characters, specifically for film. And I wrote the theatrical treatment for that, and we'll see what happens from there.
Fabulous. Well, I'll tell you what, James, it's been fabulous having you on. I really appreciate it, everybody. JamesRollins.com is the website. Altar of Eden and, you know, Doomsday Key are the latest books that are out, along with Devil Colony, which is coming out here in June. So, James, it's been fabulous. I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you, John. Appreciate it.
And we will see you soon. You have fun in New Orleans.
All right, I will.
All right, everybody. That was James Rollins, best-selling author here of Altar of Eden and Doomsday Key, looking for Devil Colonies coming out. Our next guest, her latest book here is called Chasing the Night, and Iris Johansson is known to many people, very excited, because I've never been able to speak with Iris before. And so, Iris, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show with us tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me, John.
Yeah, I mean, we followed your career. My wife and I have been huge fans following your career for such a long time, and it's just great to be able to have you on the show. And your latest book here, Chasing the Night, I believe it just came out on Tuesday.
Yes, that's right.
And how is it going? Can you kind of let everybody know just a little bit, you know, set them up about, you know, how this book is and how it came to pass and things like that?
Well, Chasing the Night is one of my Eve Duncan forensic thrillers. And actually, I introduce a new character, Catherine Ling, who is a CIA agent. And the publishing house is very excited about it. They think it's one of the best things I've ever done. And I can't tell. I never can tell. But it was exciting to write, and I think it has all of the ingredients that I want to put in a forensic thriller.
And so that's got to be extremely encouraging news to hear that they're saying here that this is one of the best things you've ever done. That has to really get you a lot of encouragement and, you know, make you feel great.
Oh, I've got a great house to write for. I really have. They encourage me. They push me. We're partners.
And you're another author that is extremely busy. I mean, you know, you have books coming out at least one a year. I think some years you have two. I mean, how do you keep all of that balanced in order to just, you know, keep it going? You must be a very disciplined writer.
Well, you know, I have a passion for it, and it's not as if it's work. It's a passion, and yes, I do work hard. I start at about 8 in the morning, and I work to 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and then I go back and I edit. And I'm lucky in that I don't have to do too many rewrites, because a lot of times the books seem to just write themselves. And as I said, I've got wonderful people in my house to say, nah, I don't think that's quite right. Would you think about it?
Isn't that always good that, you know, you have people around you that aren't just saying, oh, yeah, that's great, and then you just keep going, that can be honest with you and let you know whether something is or is not working?
Oh, absolutely. I think any writer who gets too big to be edited is going straight downhill.
Oh, and downhill is not a good thing. You know,
downhill is not a good thing.
Right. Now, and you started writing, romance, I think, was your first kind of genre that you wrote, and then you flipped over into suspense, but you still kind of left, you know, somewhat a little bit of that romance, you know, still into your books. What made you decide to flip over to the more suspense thriller genre straight from the romance part?
Well, actually, it was just a gradual progression. I started writing romance because, Frankly, I like romance. I think that a happy ending in this world that has very few is a great and wonderful thing. And so when I started to write, that's what I started to write. And then I became interested in historicals, and I wrote several historicals because, that fascinated me. And then I discovered suspense. Yeah, it is, because it allows you to so much freedom. You can go in depth in twists and in character development, and you can do things in them that you can't do in romance. You can kill off some wonderful characters.
Yes.
And but in my books, I have done that in the past. And I in one of them, I got to the middle of it, and all of a sudden, I decided that this wasn't a hero, so I killed him. Right in the middle of the book, I discovered that there was somebody else that would have been a better hero.
And what I also find is here, you wrote a book with Roy, and you know, Shadow Zone, which came out.
Oh, I love
those. Yeah, it just came out in July 2010. I was about ready to say back. Well, it's not that far back. Now, what made you two together decide to get together and after all these years and do it again? Because you had Storm Cycle that came out also in 2009. But what was the thing that kind of put you together and say, you know, we need to do something together and write together?
Well, you know, we've been wanting to do it for a long time. Roy, as you probably know, has had several books published, and besides that, he's a screenwriter, and he's had films made. But we've been wanting to do it for quite a long time, but we could never find the right thing to write that would suit my style and suit his at the same time. And then one day he came back from a trip to Chicago, and he said, "Mom, what about submarines?" And I said, "Roy, I'm not Tom Clancy." But he said, no, I think we can do this. And then we talked about it, and then we wrote Silent Thunder, and we just loved it. What's fun about writing with Roy is that he's got a wonderful sense of twist. And technically, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. I could never have written a book about a submarine without him. And of course, he's fascinated by it. So he was able to talk to all kinds of Russian submarine captains and various techno junkies.
Yeah,
just like him. And we're really, really happy with the book. And so was St. Martin. So they signed us for two more. We try to do maybe.
Oh, you got two more
together.
Coming after. You got two more coming after Shadow Zone, then.
Yeah, we did Silent Thunder, and then we did
Storm Cycle.
Storm Cycle, thank you, dear.
Yeah.
And then Shadow Zone. And right now we're working on Close Your Eyes, and that's going to be great fun. We've got a female character in it that's a little like a female Sherlock Holmes.
Oh,
and we're having a ball.
that's gotta be interesting to kind of, because if you more female Sherlock Holmes means maybe a little bit, it's a little bit more whodunit kind of mystery thing, or is it still kind of a long thing?
Yes, we decided we want to do something in that vein, and we're having such a good time with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the fascinating part, is to be able to expand, you know, even yourself and look deep into yourself when you write to say, hey, you know, let's try something different.
Right. And, you know, we both challenge ourselves individually. We're still writing our own things as well, and just getting together once a year for those books, but they're a real pleasure, because he's on the West Coast, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and we rarely get together except over the phone and for holidays and birthdays and such, and yet we're able to write the books. What we do is I send something to him, and he edits it, and then he writes something and sends it to me, and I edit it. And since we both write by the seat of our pants, we never know quite what's going to come up. So it's great fun and a challenge when we get the other partner's portions of the book.
And Everybody, I want to remind everybody here that we are speaking with Iris Johansen, best-selling author, latest book, Chasing the Night. To find out more information, you go to Iris Johansen, that's JOHANSEN.com. And the one thing that I hope that you put up soon, because not a lot of authors do this, is, and I don't know when the plans are, is you have the character profile tab that's here on your website, and you're going to be putting up your profiles for Eve Duncan, Joe Quinn, and Bonnie. Do you know when, you know, that's going to be able to happen? Because I really think that readers love to be able to, you know, put your fictional characters more into a, you know, real light, like they, you know, like they know them or they can talk to them.
Well, that'll probably go up in the next few days or a week. We've just redone the website, and we're entering new things all the time. I think we just entered something called an Ask Iris section where I answer questions from anyone who wants to ask me. I think I had one that was very interesting about my coffee drinking. They said, you know, you always have people drinking coffee. Do you like coffee? What coffee do you drink? Just little things like that. But they're fun. It's wonderful just being able to reach out and touch people.
And also looking here, you know, do you do a lot of, because I see that, you know, just on October 19th, you know, your book comes out, but do you do a lot of events, tours, things like that?
Not really. Usually I go on tour maybe every 2 years, and then that's, you know, they can be very exhausting. I love them because everybody who comes to the signings are just so wonderful. But they can be exhausting. And as I said, I have a passion for writing, and that you have to get ready for a tour, you go on the tour, and then you recover from the tour. And that takes a lot away from time away from my writing. But I think we may have some pictures from a tour on the website right now that we went on, like, I think it was 2 years ago, and that was wonderful. Some of the people I met on that tour, I'll remember forever.
That's great. I mean, that's one thing, you know, that I think is absolutely fascinating is that, you know, you get to go out, and you were not at VoucherCon, so we couldn't meet you in person, but I do like it when authors, you know, are able to go out there and, you know, speak with their fans and talk with them, because, you know, I mean, it just makes it very nice. You know, it's nice to be able to go out there and do those things, and you get to hear all the great things that, you know, the fans like or dislike or, you know, this and that, and I think it's fun for you when they come up and say, oh, I hate that character or I love that character, because then you're like, I wrote the character right, because you got that emotional, you know, connection with them.
That's right. Now, this year, I've just been doing local radio and TV shows and a couple of signings at local bookstores, and those are fun, too. Those are great fun.
I'm sorry, I think we had some technical difficulties. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. We're having some storms maybe coming over here, and it's kind of messing with our electrical equipment, so I apologize on that. But
why would that happen?
I tell you.
I live on a hill in Georgia, and I have power outages all the time.
Absolutely. Now, do you attend, you know, like VoucherCon, Thriller Fest? Do you go out to those kind of conferences?
Every now and then. Maybe one or two a year. And it just depends on what my schedule is at any given time. But those are fun, too. I attended one DoctorCon, I think it was in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And that was so much fun. Everybody dressed up in costume. Do they always do that?
You know, they dressed up in costumes a lot when the disco thing was going on, but they really didn't do a lot of they did a lot of that when the disco thing was going on, but that was about it.
It was a hoot. I really enjoyed it.
But other than that, there wasn't a lot of costumes that were going on.
Where was the last BoucherCon?
The last BoucherCon was actually in Indianapolis, and this one was just in San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco, and I missed that one.
Yeah, and then the next one is St. Louis, and then Cleveland.
All over the place.
yeah, they jump it around. I thought it was more, I mean, I wasn't too familiar with BoucherCon, and so I thought that it was kind of like in the same place every year, and then I hear it was all over the place all the time. I thought it was more like Thriller Fest, which is always in New York, but yeah, I was a little off on that one. But you know, you live in the Atlanta area, so you know, you're not too far away, I think, from, well, okay, maybe you are from St. Louis and Cleveland. I'm trying to be nice and think, and I'm like, I don't know, it's not there.
I grew up in St. Louis.
Oh, you
grew
up
in
St. Louis.
I have friends in St. Louis.
Ah, so there you go. Now you have an excuse to go back and go check them out. Absolutely. So now, speaking of Chasing the Night, and we do know that you're working on the next book here with your husband, kind of like the female Sherlock Holmes. But what are you working on as yourself? I mean, is Eve Duncan coming back?
Oh yes, Eve Duncan goes on forever. she really does. She's part of my family, and actually, the readers really love her too. She's tortured, and she's honest,
mm-hmm.
and she's smart, and she's just a very interesting character. Right now, I'm working on a trilogy for next year, and it's going to explain one of the most desired things that the readers have asked me to clarify, and that is Bonnie's death, and Bonnie is Eve's daughter.
Mm.
And I'm doing a trilogy on it, and the first book is Eve, and then the next book is Quinn, and the final book is Bonnie, and it will explain a lot of things that readers have been wanting to know about the Eve Duncan series. And that all takes place in next year. One's in April, one's in July, and then I think Bonnie comes out next October.
Fabulous. And is that probably the one question you get asked the most then, you know, about your books? Is about, you know, like Bonnie and, you know, and about the whole kind of situation between everything that goes on? Or do you get something else that people ask you a lot of?
No, it, of course, it does depend on what book I'm writing. I do write a lot of the Eve books, but I write some paranormal. Pandora's Daughter was a paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And I get questions about that all the time. But it just depends. I have a tendency to have sort of... not cliffhanger endings, but endings that you could go on to another book.
Right.
And then I'll get questions about that. And
mm-hmm.
I never write a book that won't satisfy a reader. But sometimes there are questions.
So, I think I don't know if I lost you again. Are you hopefully?
I think
you're
we
still
did.
There. Good, you're still there because I my equipment here, all of a sudden I kind of had like a dead, and I'm like, oh no, did it just go out? So, ooh, that's good. But I'll tell you what, I mean, this 20 minutes has just flown by, and it's been so great to talk with you. I mean, you know, we really want to have you come back on, when your next book comes out, because we just love, you know, your writing and following, and, you know, that would be great if you could do that for us.
Oh, I'd love to. And it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Yes, thank you so much. So everybody, Iris Johansson, latest book, Chasing the Night, just came out here on Tuesday, so 3 days ago. And you can find her at Iris Johansson, JOHANSEN.com. And again, Iris, thank you again for coming on.
And thank you.
All right. And we will talk with you soon. So thank you again.
Goodbye, John.
Bye-bye. So everybody, that was Iris Johansson here. And before, we had James Rollins, two just outstanding authors that we could bring to you. I mean, you can't really think of two better authors maybe to kind of put together on a show. So, you know, when you're talking a lot of the suspense thriller going on, these are definitely two powerhouses that definitely should be on your bookshelf. And if they're not, then I really don't know what the heck you're reading. So JamesRollins.com and IrisJohansson.com. Before we go, you know, we always like to have a couple announcements and let everybody know kind of what's going on. Coming up here on Tuesday and next week is another radio show that we're going to have Steve Barry and Jeremy Robinson, and that's going to be on October the 26th. So, yes, you heard right, Steve Barry and Jeremy Robinson. And then on 10/29, we are going to have Alan Jacobson and John Miller. Now, we had Alan on about 6 weeks ago, and we're going to bring him back because he still has some stories to tell. So you're going to be able to hear Alan Jacobson and John Miller here on October the 29th. Don't forget that you can hear Tuesday's episode, which was Erica Spindler and Allison Leota. You can find that on suspensemagazine.com and go to Suspense Radio, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio blogtalkradio.com/suspensemagazine, and you can listen to everything, iTunes, all the iPads, whatever Apple has, and I lose track. I just know their stock goes through the roof. And be able to listen on Netflix, Zune, and places like that. So the other thing here, the magazine is on the newsstands. We encourage everyone to go out and get it. If you want to know exactly maybe which newsstand or Barnes & Noble it is, because I know it's in 520, and I know that's not all the Barnes & Nobles that are out there, you can simply go ahead and send us an email at editor@suspensemagazine.com, and we will be more than happy to go ahead and let you know where it's available in your area and give you a list, you know, as up-to-date that we have. Now, we can't be sure that they're not already sold out, so you might want to do it fast, because we have heard that they're flying off the shelves. And if you want to get your copy, you know, you want to go ahead and let us know real fast. And if you have pictures, you know, send them in. We love to see them. You know, we'll put them on Facebook, and we love to see where we're at, because I am a dork, and I did go out and buy my own magazine, and I think, you know, maybe I'll just go back and slip it back onto the shelf so they think that they, you know, have to sell it again. But, you know, that's just something that I do, and you heard James Rollins, you know, he kind of did the same thing, but he was a little more boisterous, where my wife did not let me be boisterous. I wanted to have kind of an impromptu signing right then and there, but that just was not going to work. It is It is a great Friday here. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, kind of cut the show off a little early, because I do have to get over to that game. I cannot miss walking my daughter to see if she does win Homecoming Queen. So all of you, I will let you know on Facebook if she wins. If she doesn't, I'm not going to say nothing. So you're going to know whether or not she wins or not, because if it's there, I'm texting it straight from the field saying she won. And if you don't have a text by tonight, then you know she didn't, and that's okay. Also, I'll still let her stay a part of the family. She just won't get as much in the will. But other than that, everybody, I do want to thank everybody for joining us and encourage you to go out and read as much as you can. We have many great authors, and if you have any questions, you can go ahead and send us emails. You know, check out our reviews, see what we're reading. Because we don't read crap, so that's another thing. It's been great having everybody. We're going to leave you all until Tuesday with Steve Barry and Jeremy Robinson. Have a great night.